Hi, I'm Hillary Walsh, a serial entrepreneur, award-winning immigration lawyer, law professor, TEDx speaker, and raving Phoenix Suns fan. Over the past decade, I've helped thousands of immigrants live free in the United States. I'm talking work permits, social security numbers, green cards, their citizenship, VAWA, T visa, U visa, and lots of successful appeals. Here's the thing. Immigration law is super complicated, and legal advice, well, it can be pretty expensive. So I created the Immigration Law Made Easy podcast to share my 10 plus years of experience with you for free. So if you're looking for tried and true, no BS, step-by-step strategies and tips on how to win your immigration case and live truly free in the United States, you're in the right place, my friend. Let's get started. Perfect. So welcome, Julieta. Thank you so much for coming to the Immigration Law Made Easy podcast.
Happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit about how you came to New Frontier.
That was a point. Through one of my friends, he used to work in this big company where they hired me for New Frontier Foundation.
Okay.
New Frontier Immigration Law. Now is the name that I'm always using, that is New Frontier Foundation. But yeah, that's how it started. Yeah, I was very lucky at that time.
So good. Well, your background is you're a social worker you're from Mexico, and you are here in the States helping us through New Frontier University and just doing a lot of volunteer work for New Frontier Foundation, helping clients who have experienced domestic violence and trafficking.
Yeah.
So really exciting, amazing, impactful work that you do. And I was visiting with a team member, Sarah, and she told me, because I was wanting to know more about Day of the Dead, and she told me, look, if you need to talk to anybody about Day of the Dead, that is Julieta's Christmas. So here we are talking about the Day of the Dead. How did you, first, what state are you from in Mexico?
I'm from the state of Mexico, which is very, very close to Mexico City. I spent a lot of time in Mexico City, a lot of years of my life, but I would say state of Mexico.
State of Mexico, okay. Well, tell me a little bit about kind of when you think of Day of the Dead, what's the first memory that comes to mind?
I would say my grandma. That's my first thought, that, you know, like the one that I have in my mind. She basically is the one who made sure that we all celebrate this season. You know, like, this is my Christmas. I always get very, very excited about this season, this holiday. And my grandma, definitely.
And your grandma.
Yeah, that was...
And now, I just came back from San Miguel de Allende, and they had already started, like on October 1st, I thought it was a quinceañera. But then I realized as the girl turned, she had her face all painted and everything. So I could tell that this was a different event than a quinceañera, even though she was really dressed up. Now, what is the meaning? I watched Coco, so that's my only true experience of Day of the Dead, of understanding it from a cultural perspective. But kind of what is the meaning of it to you?
That's also a tough one, I would say, because there's a lot of meaning there. Sometimes you don't think about the meaning, you know, like you just live the traditions.
Right.
But I would say that I've been thinking about this, just there is no way that life exists without death, you know? And I think it's one day where you can think of all the people you loved, you know, like your loved ones that already passed away, and how to honor them, I would say, you know, like how to appreciate this other side of life that is death. And basically it, you know, like think about your life. It's so meaningful as death is. And I guess that's what keeps me, you know, like this celebration.
The celebration. So when we see people dressed up, kind of what does that signify? Why do people paint basically a skull on their face?
I mean, that's something that I barely done that before, but I know that a lot of people do that. But I would say that I honestly don't know what to say specifically about this, because it's how you, I don't do it, you know, like I don't dress up, and I don't wear anything
any
on
makeup,
my, yeah. And I guess they are representing how the dead, you know, like dead. Katrina, which is a huge character that we have during this season. But I'm not very sure about this question. Yeah, I don't know.
What about the marigold? I know the marigolds represent something, because I saw them everywhere. but I don't really know what they mean.
You either?
I think it's something with like lighting the way in the afterlife.
We have a lot of scents and a lot of flowers, you know, like the marigold, you mean the...
Like the orange pasuchit flower.
Yeah, it's pasuchit. Like... Okay. Yeah. And we have different... we also have copal, which is the scent that brings people, that guides them, you know. The cempasúchil is the pathway, the way that dead people comes from this other world.
This other realm.
And they're different meanings, you know. Like also the altar has different meanings, but I would say it's the pathway, is the flower that we use, that because it's only during this season that we have this flower, and it represents the pathway that people use this to come to this world.
And what do they do when they come?
Basically, they do what they love the most when they were alive.
Okay.
You know, like they come to spend some time with us to, I guess, the most powerful meaning for this is for the people who are alive, you know, because it's a way to honor them and share with them what they loved the most when they were alive. Whatever the food, the, you know, like the music that you love when you were here, what you used to eat, you know, like your favorite food, we're going to put it here and you have to enjoy it. And we're just going to spend time with you. And I remember so much this. I was with my aunt one day, and my uncle died a long time ago. And I remember coming to her house the day of the dead, and she was having a whole conversation with my uncle, you know, like, wow. Like if he was there, you know. And I was, I guess, so moved because I saw her and she was having a conversation there. You know? Where's my uncle? At some point, I guess that I thought about it because I was very, very young. But that's the thing. We have a moment to spend with them and to say hi, to remember, to bring all the memories, the good memories that we had during your life. And that's basically it, you know, like, let's celebrate, let's honor, let's spend a good time with the family that we already lost, that we miss so much, and that we don't want to think about them during the rest of the year, you know. Mm-hmm. Like we don't want to think about that, but this day we want to, and we want to honor them.
So growing up, yeah, I think that most of the time, like my uncle actually was buried today. It was his funeral today. Like very moving that you're talking about your own uncle passing and having beautiful memories of being able to celebrate them. And of course, when we set up our podcast recording, I had no idea that this would be the day of his funeral. But I think, you know, he really loved all the food. And that was one of the big things that he did with his kids, my cousins, was to take them all over the world, and they always had to try new food. And being from like rural Arkansas, that's like not a very common characteristic. I think, you know, a small town, you want to stay in your small town, but he wanted everybody to kind of explore the world, and he did it with food. So that's really amazing. When you were a kid, how was Day of the Dead described to you? So that, especially because I know that there's special days for children who passed away, and then I think the rest is for adults. The other day is for the adults. Kind of how was that conversation brought in? Because you clearly have such a piece about the idea, where I think if someone came to me and said that today we're going to lay out food for this deceased person and they're going to come and visit us and they're going to enjoy it, as a kid I might have been kind of creeped out by that. But I think it's a beautiful tradition.
Yeah, I guess that's part of the heritage, you know, like we never question ourselves or our family, like what does it mean? I guess we had a lot of questions, but we also come from a culture where you don't ask, you know, like you just learn. And Mexicans, we always say like, I don't know, but we do it like that. That's so common in Mexico. And I would say at some point I was scared because also, you know, like the spirits, they're coming and they're gonna have food. And I remember, you know, like wanting to take it like a candy from the altar, but not doing it because it was for them. And there's a saying in Spanish that says las patas, which is they're gonna come and hold your, you know, like the spirit.
Oh my gosh.
So you were very scared, you know, like because they were gonna come for you and do that if you don't follow the rules, you know. So we were there just looking at the altar during the whole, I would say, like, month, because you start from October, and but you're gonna put everything, you know, like the food, the candies, the alcohol, the whatever, everything. You wanna, the fruit. You cannot eat anything from there until they're gone. So it was for me, it was like when they were gone, it was also like a reward, because we already could eat everything, you know, like we could take all the candies, all the food and everything. And that was also part of the tradition. We don't do it like Halloween. However, we have the calaverita, which is also the candies for the children. And that was also part of the whole tradition, you know, not only going to the cemetery and spend time with our family, but it was also having a lot of candies for the children. So it was scary. It was this moment where, like, if you were watching a scary movie, but it was just that, you know, it was also reunion and celebration, and we all were kind of moved because they were there, you know, like my grandma is coming this year, you know, and it's gonna be the time that I can talk to her. So it was scary as a kid, but it was also beautiful because you're gonna have a moment with them.
Yeah, so beautiful. When you set up the altar, kind of how does that process work, and what are the items that you put on the altar, and is this, you know, I grew up kind of in a Christian background, and like we only had altars at church, and you would never have an altar at home, which for me now is kind of an odd concept. Why would I have to go to church to pray when I obviously prayed all the time at home? I love the idea of having a home altar. And you know, kind of how did that process, like, what did you set up? Is it a special place in the house where you do it have the altar every year? I have so many questions.
I love it because I also think about this that I just mentioned, you know, like it just, it's something that you just learn. And it is true, you know, like my brother says this to me like a lot of all the time. He says, like, Mexicans, we don't question ourselves. Like, why are we doing things? You know, like we just say that's the way it was.
It always was.
So I can tell you, I just followed instructions. You know, like, put this there, the food this way, you know, like here, place it here. That was everything, just following instructions. Just make sure, it changes depending the state that you are, you know, like it's different in the south, it's different in the north, it's different in the center of Mexico. So I think it changes a lot. That's also part of the diversity and the how rich it is, this tradition, sure, because it changes depending on the place that you are. So we don't do it the same way that they do it in Oaxaca. We don't do it the same way that they do it in Chihuahua, let's say. So it's completely different. We don't know how it... And one of the examples of it is the bread. It's totally different everywhere. It has different shapes, different flavor, different process, you know. Bread is completely different everywhere.
So what are the kind of the staples? So it sounds like fruit, candy, fruit, bread, alcohol.
Alcohol, whatever your one really, really enjoyed during their life, that's also something that, you know, like if you were a smoker, we're going to put the
pack of cigarettes for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Your mole, your whatever you love the most when you were alive. Sometimes it's very ironic because
the thing that killed them
is the thing that we're going to put there.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
I would say they're certain rules that we need to follow, you know, like different levels in the altar. I would also say the four elements, you know, like water, fire, you have to have everything. But I'm not the expert, you know, like in different, I know that there are certain people who follow the instructions as it is, but not everywhere, you know, like as long as you have a picture, a candle, and water. One of my grandmas, she used to, you know, like do it that way. And my other grandma is completely different. You know, like
she was all out.
Everything. So it depends on every family, I would say. But you have to have fruit, candies, their favorite food, drinks. Sometimes if they're coming already here, we're going to play their music. We're going to dance. we're going to do something around the altar, or some people go to the cemetery and they do it there.
So beautiful. I wonder for our clients who are here in the U.S. and they don't have the ability to go back and participate in this, and they know that this is happening, what is the next best option for them? What do they do here?
It's all about, isn't the spirit, I would say, because my grandma passed away 2 years ago. She was very special to me. And I've been thinking, like, you know, like, I have to go to the cemetery and put some flowers there. And I'm going to miss that part. I'm not going to see her. But also at the same time, and that's also something that I honestly think is the most beautiful, one of my favorite things about the Day of the Dead, is that they can be with you wherever you are. As long as you put the altar, they're going to be there, you know, like, I just have to make sure that I have a candle and that I have some flowers and something that is meaningful. And that's going to be it.
Oh my gosh.
If you watch the movie.
So moving.
The Coco movie.
Yeah.
I think that's what it teaches you, you know, like, right. It doesn't matter what are you going to put there. It's more about the spirit. It's more about the memory and yeah.
Yeah, so it's so moving. I love it. So what are your grandmother's? Talk to me about your grandmother. What will you set out for her this year?
She used to smoke a lot, but during the past...
It was part of the time. My grandmother smoked as well, which is funny because I associate her. But her smoking was so fabulous. I don't know. There was something like really... I don't know, almost cool about it. I remember smoking her cigarette butts when she would like leave the house and like it burning my lips. But anyway, yeah, grandma's in there smoking.
But wait, my grandmother, she quit smoking for the last 20, 30 years she was alive. So I don't know if I should.
I know. Or should I? Like, I can offer it. I can offer it.
Should I or not? So I shouldn't, because that's not what killed her. Her favorite food, I would say, like, for my grandma, I would say, like, I have a picture of her, and I, you know, like, I brought it here from Mexico, and I already have it there, you know, like, with a candle, and I would say cempasúchil, my grandma's picture, and the flower.
Now, you said pasuchi? What is that?
Cempasúchil.
What is that?
I think it's the marigold.
Oh, okay. Is it like an orangish, yellowish flower? Yeah, a marigold.
Yeah, that's the pathway.
Okay.
That's the way she's going to come.
That's the way she's going to come.
And Palo Santo, because Palo Santo also, you know, like...
The fragrance.
It's part of...
So powerful. Yeah. Yeah. We did a Temezcal. Have you done a Temezcal before, like a sweat lodge? Yeah, I did that on Friday, just a couple of days ago. And they saged us essentially with copal. And so it was the first time for me to smell it. It smells so good.
Yeah,
it smells so good. And it feels, just the scent of it felt very purifying, something about it, which I've had the same kind of experience when I first smelled Palo Santo, because I had Palo Santo.
Yes.
I get them confused, but I had never smelled it before. And Adelia at the other office was like, we need to sage here, and then we need to burn Palo Santo. And so she helped me sage, and then she lit Palo Santo and kind of resaged with that. So anyway, it's such a beautiful, but it's definitely the earth and the environment.
I follow instructions, remember.
Okay, yes. And then we do this, and then we do this. I'm like a participant too. I want to be told exactly.
Yeah,
I
mean, no, for sure.
Even in the Christian faith, like when it was time for Christmas, we didn't really talk about like, this was when the baby was born and he was shut out of everywhere else, and this was everything that was going on with the government. It's like, no, we're just celebrating like a happy birthday, Jesus, you know?
Yes.
So I know exactly what you mean. Before we went on, you were talking a little bit about the kind of evolution of the Day of the Dead. And you said it started kind of, the idea of Katrina started with...
It was a
cartoon drawing.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
It was a political thing. It was drawn by... Posada, let me think about his first name is Guadalupe Posada. At that time, this type of draw was very political, and he drew La Catrina. She was called La Calavera Garbancera. Diego Rivera is the one who popularized as La Catrina, and it's basically a dead woman. Who used to sell garbanzos, which is a small bean. I don't remember the name in English, but it's like a bean. She was selling in the streets, you know, like this. But The La Calavera Garbancera is this very fancy woman with all dressed up and, you know, like very beautiful and pretending to be something that she was not.
Okay.
And it was at that time, you know, like there was a lot of people that went through all this situation because we used to have a very important period in Mexico with one dictator that we used to have at that time, and we were changing from the dictatorship to
democracy.
Democracy, mm-hmm. I would say. And during this process, artists were very important. So one of them is Guadalupe Posada, who draw La Catrina, and she used to be a poor woman pretending to be a rich woman. And but the ironic part is that she's already dead.
She's so already dead.
What are you pretending if you're dead, if you're not anything of that, you know? Like, there's this saying, I don't know how it goes in, not even Spanish, I don't know how it goes, but basically you're not going to take anything.
Yeah, you can't take anything with you. Mm-hmm.
So that's the powerful meaning behind La Catrina. It was very popular. And I think that's the most symbolic element that we have, you know, like in culture, that represents the Day of the Dead. Catrina is known everywhere, anywhere around the world. Yeah, I would say.
I think it's such an ongoing conversation that we get to have, that we get to reflect on, because it is like we are all dressing up and pretending to be not only the person that we think we are. This is going to get deep, right? It's like, who are we pretending to be? Who are we actually? And at the end of the day, we're all going to be dead. And so you really should live meaningfully while you're here. And I think part of that is you can't really live meaningfully without respecting the people who came before you.
Exactly.
Because we're all going to join them. And I think that's so deep.
And trying to have a life that is not yours, you know, like, I mean, you can do whatever you want to do in your life. But it's also true that none of these things that you're pretending to be is who you are, mm-hmm. you know. So it doesn't matter, because actually, you know, like, also the meaning behind this is that she was a poor woman. She was not rich, and she was pretending to be a rich person. And she was also a skeleton. So that means that she was not this thing that she was trying to...
She wasn't alive either. Mm-hmm.
So that's the meaning behind La Catrina.
Yeah. And how did that get tied into Day of the Dead? Like, I see the political commentary. And then how did that get tied into the Day of the Dead, I wonder?
Because it's a skeleton.
It's a skeleton.
A lot of things that Guadalupe Posada did was, all of them are a skeleton. They were very popular at that time.
Yeah.
So we have a newspaper with a lot of skeletons going, you know, like, drawn there, you know, like, that's the newspaper that we used to have at that time. So that's also part of the culture, you know, because we have the Day of the Dead, but we also have a lot of Catrinas, a lot of people wearing
the makeup or the headdress.
The makeup that we were talking at the beginning is part of it, you know, like, sometimes you don't know why, but a lot of people, they love painting their faces as Catrinas. I've done that like once or twice. I really don't do that, but we all try to wear, to paint, to draw, to have something to do with them. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for people who have never taken part in it, let's say that they're maybe their first generation American and they want to connect with their Mexican roots in this way. Or maybe for people like me who, I have no Mexican roots, but I am very interested in and love the culture. How does one take a first step to taking part in this tradition?
You know, we cannot, it is true that death is part of life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in every culture, you know. It is different because it's a pre-Hispanic heritage that we had there, you know, like, it was something that I was, it was tough to me that way, you know. I wasn't into it. It just, you know, like, one day my grandma said, do this, you know, like, with the altar, and I was there, you know, like, I was living that tradition. It's nothing that you plan, right? So I would say that it's a connection that you have with the the souls, you know, like the spirits, the people that already passed away. So it's a way to, I mean, you can remember the people you love, you know, like you can bring your loved ones, but also is the way you also honor yourself and your life, you know, like trying to remember all the time this, it's a balance in life, I would say. You have the morning as you have the night, you know, and one day we have the sun and then we have the moon, and it's, we have life. We have people death. That is born, it's growing and they're born, and we also have people that is dying, and that's part of life, and that's how it has to do, you know, like everything is a cycle. And in that sense, I would say, if something that is very curious is that we all have loved ones that all have already passed, right? Yeah. Every house, they all have someone, we all have someone, because that's the nature of life. So it's a way to say, this is who I am, you know, like through all that people that already passed away, it's a way to say, this is who I am, you know, because we also have kids, we are having family that is coming. And I would definitely say that one of the biggest heritage that we have here is that the reunion, you know, like the family, the bond that we create with our family. I think that's one of the most beautiful things that we have in Mexico, because basically what the Day of the Dead means is that you are, you know, like, we all gonna gather here, we all gonna come and sit and just spend time with our family. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things. I would say, if you wanna, this is something that you're not used to, you haven't had the time to go and visit your family in Mexico, which is one of the most saddest things, I would say, for immigrants that we have here in the US. You don't have the chance to say goodbye, you don't have the chance to say hi, you don't have the chance to hug your mom. I think that's one of the cruelest things, you know, like in the world, not having the chance to hug someone you love. And sometimes they're gonna die, unfortunately, right? People have gone through all that here as immigrants, you know, like they say, I wish I could hug my mom. But you know, like, something that blows my mind is that even though they're already gone, they want to go and visit them, you know, like they want to go and say goodbye. It's a way to honor what they were here in life. So I would say, bring a candle, put one of their pictures that you have with them from them, and just stay there, listen to one of your mom's favorite songs. It's just spending time with them.
Yeah, every time you describe it, I get tears in my eyes thinking about people who've gone, and how we create this, and almost, I guess I can speak for myself, create an intentional barrier between their memory and us, because it hurts so much that they're gone. And I love that what you're describing is, it must still hurt. The pain must still be there of missing them, the sadness. But somehow, this is so the Mexican way, from what I've observed. Even in the suffering, Mexicans find joy. Even in the suffering, there's like a way to, I don't know, still be uplifted, still be positive. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind, because it's very unique to your culture, from my mm-hmm. observation. But it is so Mexican to be like, oh, I miss this person so much, but I'm happy that they're here. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I don't know how really to describe it. It really is like you were describing the two sides of the same coin, but at the same time.
I know. And I think that it doesn't mean that we are happy all the time. Right. Sometimes, you know, like something that I found very interesting as well is that sometimes I could have a terrible year, you know, like it was terrible, my life is just a whole mess, and I don't want to probably keep going. But it's just gonna be one day that my mom is gonna come, and I'm gonna have to, you know, like I have to make up myself so they can come and see me that I'm okay, you know. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. It's just like, I'm just gonna spend this time, I'm just gonna spend this day with her. I don't know what I'm doing with my life, but you know, like I want to celebrate this day. It's very interesting, because I mean, it's known that we are a culture that brings death everywhere, right? We think, we talk about it, we see it in paint, in paintings, in the culture in general. But also, it doesn't mean that we want to think about that all the time, you know, like we are also scared about that. But we want to celebrate, we want to honor. At least we have one day where we're going to spend the whole day with them as they, if they were here, you know, and it's just that spend one day with them doing what they love to do when they were alive.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I think
that's beautiful.
Oh, it's so beautiful. The way you've described it has been incredible. Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
My friend, I'm so glad you joined me today. If you have a friend or family member who may need some immigration law guidance or even just day-to-day encouragement, please send them a text or email or a DM on social media and say, hey, I think this podcast is going to help you. I sure wish someone had given me the tips I'm sharing here years and years ago when I was starting out as an immigration lawyer. Thank you so much for being here. I'll see you next week, same time, same place. Adios.